Amen. Good job, ladies. Good job, ladies. Devil ain't got them all. Amen. Good job, ladies. Warm my heart tonight. Amen. Do we have a young person's choir? Huh? Do we have a young person's choir? How many was in children's church this morning? 35 people with workers. Do we have a children's choir? We do? We got to incorporate that every frequently. That was good tonight. Amen. It messes me up, I'll be honest with you. Well, how do I say this without it sounding negative? Just hear the whole thing. If you look at things scripturally with the seed that's sown, not all of those make it. But you got to have soil present to put seed in it. Are you getting where I'm going? Are you picking up what I'm throwing down? Even the old people nodded at that one. I sit here sometimes and I'm thinking, you know what, Julie, I don't think it's wrong for me to say this. You didn't have a snowball's chance in hell. You didn't even know it. And the soil presented itself for seed to be deposited into it. And it brought forth fruit. And you got a chance now. I poured my heart out this morning. And some just don't bring them back. And there is no excuse. There's nothing in your life can be so busy. You can't set your children down for seed to be deposited into their soil. You have to set yourself to the side for them. And I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Jacob's cousin said, do y'all do that all the time? Sing birthday to those kids? I know some, it might hair lip them, but I want our young people to know they're involved. I want them to know they're cared for. I want them to know they got a chance. I want them to know I say a lot of hard things, but I say a lot of good things too. And I want them to know that I'm in their corner. I'm rooting for them. I want to see them. Mr. McPherson this morning just absolutely cornered me out there. And I say that not in a bad way, and he just started crying. He said, "Oh, Pastor, I wish I would have heard that years ago." He says, "I got 3 children." And I said, "Well, I talked to one of them. I said, he sounds like a good boy." He said, "Oh, if I just knew then what I heard now." And it's the time machine I'm talking about. I do not know who went and who didn't go when I say what I'm going to say next, and don't get hair-lipped by it. And nobody's given me a report who went and who didn't go. But if you would have taken your soil to Kenmore the other night, seed could have been deposited into it. We don't make enough deposits into our account. I think we treat our children like I treated my checking account at Bankers First years ago. 42 bounce checks. I wasn't depositing enough in it to write checks. I was writing checks my bank couldn't cash. And we need to make more deposits into our children than we do make withdrawals. And so, yeah. Brother Mark? No. No, yes, it is. And I'm not saying it. I hope you've figured me out by now that I don't ever want to say anything that hurts. I could have hurt some people this morning. When you heard me say, no, Lord, I prayed that you'd not let my lips say what I shouldn't say. When I'm preaching and I'm pouring out my heart and somebody can talk through that whole service, and every time I make a statement, you can chuckle about it and lean over. When I first got here, if you're not afraid to say it, I'm not afraid to talk about it. And I came so close this morning. While people's lives are falling apart and you're not putting the soil in a place where the seed can plant and multiply. I wish Brother Mike I could get a time machine. But Brother McPherson was a time machine. He was a statement, and he's a preacher's kid. Jessica's her grandfather was a preacher. I got a son that has a preacher for a father. And I just wish sometimes I could get a time machine and show what the decisions of our life end up making. Joey, weren't you sitting up here at one time, Joey? What happened to that? Is Mom not encouraging you to sit up here with these guys? We want you to, you might get some of that stuff that Noah and Ryan's got, and it'd rub off on you. Amen? And so I need your help. Here's my help. If I ever do make one of those trips like I used to all the way back there and stand by somebody, you got to help me. You got to help me. Because somebody might think I'm mad. I'm mad because they won't get in the time machine of their life and see what it ends up being. Amen? I think the Lord was moving this morning. We got to allow him to move. Amen. Because of that. What's her name? I'm getting so personal tonight. Names avail me, even my own grandkids. Tell me her name. The little blonde girl, Jessica's blonde girl. Stephanie. Does Stephanie not look like Ella? Fast forward. Every time I see her, I sit there and I go, Lord, please. Please. Josh came over the other day and we were, before we went to Chicago, fixing things around the house. And he still got suits in his closet. And he said to his mom, we were cleaning it out, and he says, I don't take them out yet. I'm close. Well, you better get closer. Because for every day you're not close, it jeopardizes one day that soil can get seed. Wesley, how many Wednesdays have we had? Wesley's down here. Guess what? If his dad doesn't think that's important, there's no seed getting in the soil. Yeah. Got to get the soil in front of the sower so he can put seed in it. Yeah. Right, Alicia? Where could Sarah be tonight if Dad thought enough and Mom thought enough to get her in front of soil? There was a time, and now there's no seed falling in her soil. And it can't bring forth fruit, some 30, 60, 90, 100. Don't look at these events like Kenmore and other places as, oh. Look at it as an opportunity for God to place seed in their soil. Right, Brother Mike? And Ryan, when your soil comes, don't deposit some seed, Lord, into my soil. And then I'm going to water it tomorrow. I'm going to water it. I'm going to put it in front of some sun and get some light on it so it can grow. Amen. We got glow books. Are we doing the glow books? Coming around to the end of the year, I might as well police it all up. Are we doing glow books? Are we quoting verses of Scripture? How shall a young man cleanse his way? by taking heed thereto according to thy word. You might think, oh, it's too hard. There's so much going on in my life. I wish I could go back. I didn't do a lot of devotions with my kids. I did teachable moments. I just felt like I was always preaching to them. I wanted to give them a break. I didn't want to constantly be doing it. But boy, I wish I could go back. My kids didn't go, they were on the mission field. They didn't get to go to camp. Yours get to go to camp. Yours get to go to meetings. Yours gets to go to functions. And I'm sorry if you've chapped somebody's hide, they don't want to go to them. I'd start looking at why don't they want to go to them. Pour my heart out this morning. And then some don't even bring the soil back. And then they'll be sending me a message, could you pray for my kids? And I want to say, could you get in the time machine with me? See what it turns out to. And none of these sitting on our pews that are under 10 years of old age are guaranteed anything. Anything. It's our responsibility to just make sure they get the soil, the seed. Amen. I just felt like I had to say that. And the reason I had to say it is watching them. Alex, Elizabeth will eternally be a part of photography in my phone and life. And the last thing I want to see, Mandy, is 20 years down the road, her spinning out of control. And I don't think you're going to do that. But nothing's guaranteed. And then the other part of it is people that in church, they've thrown theirs to the devil, and they're going to make every action to be able to make sure somebody else's gets thrown to the devil instead of encouraging them. I tell you what, sometimes I get so bothered sometimes by some of y'all rubbing shoulders with each other. Rub shoulders with somebody who's going to help you. Stop rubbing shoulders with somebody who's going to hurt you. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. You know why we're saying some of the things that we say in the Timothy group? Because if we can say them down there to each other, when we're shaky at best down the road, we can call somebody else and say, I need you to help me. I'm shaking right now. My life's a little bit, I need some help. Did I say everything you want me to say? As nice as I could say it? There's every different age right there. Aurora, how old are you now? 16. The next decision you'll make that will be the greatest decision of your life will be a spouse. And look around. They're few and far between. While Alex and Mandy can do everything they can to raise godly girls, somebody else needs to be raising godly boys. Or else your godly girls are going to what? It's what Nehemiah was talking about. Intermingle with ungodly generations. And everything you invested in, Brother Mike, in a moment. You weren't offended by Caleb's friend that he's communicating with, right? Needing the yard birds to meet the parents. You weren't, were you? Because he's got, how old is she? 20. He's invested 20 years into that. I got family members wouldn't let you borrow their little shotgun. But you can beat the horn at the end of the driveway. And she can walk out the door. We got this thing so messed up. They're precious up there. And how much we invest in them and what we do and what we show them makes all the difference. I won't say that. I'm going to say I had a memory come up on my Facebook feed. I won't say that. Because some of y'all are still friends with them. You'll tell them and they'll get their feelings hurt like I don't care. Amen. Brother Mark?
You often talk about the time machine, and there's don't know how many time machines are in here right now, but I'm one of them. Everything you said this morning, when I'm talking about my relationship with the Lord and my involvement with my local church, I often start statements by, "My pastor says," and then I quickly follow up with a statement that it's not truth because my pastor says it. It's truth and my pastor says it. And I have apologized to you years and years ago after you gave a message much like this morning's. And on my way out that morning, I said, "Boy, where was that when I needed it?" And that evening, after God kind of grabbed my ear and turned it red, I came up to you and I said, "You know, I owe you an apology. It's been there the whole time. I just never looked for it." So I'm where I'm at, but you talk about listening to people that can tell you where the landmines are. All these young people, I pray the most frequent prayer that I make for the people that I fellowship with is for their marriages. Mine's ruined, mine's shot out, gone. It's gone. Those people that are in struggling marriages, I pray for you. I wish I could pray more. I don't want to know details so that I can pray more specifically, because God knows. I know several people in here have what seem on the outside to be strong marriages. I pray for you folks no less. Because a strong marriage today doesn't necessarily mean that there aren't going to be challenges and other things, that strength that was built up to this point isn't going to be taxed to get through whatever event or whatever situation might occur. Just young people, I'm telling you, the devil lies, and the lies start at the eyes, and they where that ends up, you just don't know. So I, you didn't break my heart. My heart was broken this morning, but man, I tell you what, if you gave that message a dozen times more this year, and maybe somebody in here that's walking, that's already down that path, or maybe somebody that's thinking about it, maybe that would just be the impetus to say, you know what?
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Sam, did you just raise your hand? Oh, I thought this is testimony time's like an auction house. We see this, and that means you're making a bid.
I want to thank the Lord first and foremost for my salvation, and then for this church family. Pastor, I just want to say a word of appreciation for you and for what you do for the church as a whole, but for the individuals of the church as well. And I know that you go beyond compared to most pastors, and I appreciate you for that. And I feel like I haven't said it enough this year, so thank you. But I also just want to share an appreciation for the men of our church, where there is that void in my own life. God has provided time again through others here to be of help where it's been needed. And I know you counted the 1, 2, 3, 4 men up in the choir, but the Lord has used the men of our church dearly to be of help to me when it's been needed, whether it's in my tires, Cody helping with a battery, Brother Mark and Sam today helped me with my lights on my car. And so I'm thankful that there is always a hand where it's needed to be of help, where it doesn't have to cost an arm and a leg when that's not in my resources. And I'm just thankful for the church as a whole. And when I consider our young ladies here, and how it is few and far between to find a good man out there. And I see that for even our young ladies in the years ahead. I hope that they will always know that what they need is found here in the church, because this is God's house and he provides here.
Amen. I've said before, God created the home, always wants everybody to have a home. Everybody should have a godly home. Everybody deserves a godly home. But if you don't have one, it's to be made up at the church. And you are a time machine. And it's all the more reason for the men in our church to stand up. Because where each individual home in our church might lack, we have to not only do it for our own homes, we have to make up for those that didn't have that. I'm not speaking ill of the dead. I'm not. But I mean, you don't have to answer in a numerical or a chronological date, but when's the last time you had a father figure in the home? And it cripples us, doesn't it? You could probably stand up here and testify of how much it cripples. But we can also take that testimony, can't we, Alicia, and make it a blessing and to help somebody else. I sat in a courthouse one time with a mother and her children, and I went home and I wept. I went home and I wept. You know why I wept? I said, where was the pastor for my mom when she needed somebody? And there wasn't. So we're given a little clarification to why the pastor says, where are the men? That's what he's doing. He's giving clarification. Brother Mike, Alicia's not your child. But when she has a dad that's, for lack of a better word, a dirtbag, God can bring another person in and take that place. So it takes more out of you, doesn't it? So you have to have more in you. And God will put that in you to get more out of you. So you can't come to church as a man and just... You have to look for that area. And we can't be men like the world has men. We have to be men like God was a man. So you have to be acquainted with God. You have to see how God would handle. God, how would you handle things like this? Cody said to me this morning, and I'm not shooting at Cody when I say this. He said to me with Jake, he said, and it hurt me when he said it. He said, where was that guy? Where was that guy that said, hey, come on in my office and get a piece of candy? He didn't come from the home Jake come from. But I probably could have done a whole lot better. But you know why I was a little crippled? Because I didn't have a dad that was pouring into me. So I did the best I could with what I had. And I wish, as I say every family conference, I could go back with what I know now, and he'd probably love his dad more. He'd probably testify every once in a while and say, I just want to thank the Lord for my dad. Wouldn't it be easier? Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Our family's been going through kind of a tough season recently. And we've been talking about it a lot, praying about it between us, with our children, by ourselves. And this weekend, God just seemed to break through. And it was almost overwhelming for us. Friday, we're headed to the youth conference, and due to some logistical error, we had our roof was being redone Friday, and they put a free roof on our shed because of an error in their judgment. And but God had a plan. And he tacked that on, and it just seemed like God was saying, "Yeah, it's going to cost, but I have you, I've got you, I have this taken care of." And it was a blessing. Then come through yesterday, and we got to rest a little bit and do some things as a family. And then we get to church this morning. We had 17 kids in our class back there, which we do not have 17 chairs in that classroom back there. We scrounged a little. What's that? I have Joe's, Brother Joe's class. It is, I don't even know what the age group actually is.
What's that age group?
That would be.
Not grade group.
That would be 10 through 12.
I'm old. I don't know what those ages were anymore.
9 to 12, pretty much.
9 through 11?
9 to 11, 9 to 12, somewhere in that group.
17 in there.
We had 17 in there, and we had a great class this morning. just talking about being faithful to God, even when sometimes his instructions don't make sense to us, from Joshua in the Battle of Jericho. And it was wonderful. And I got to watch God do that in our life this week. And then we had 35 in children's church today. And Brother Matt had 35 in children's church today, which is the highest number we've ever had in children's church. I saw Honora when I got down there. Brother Matt was doing what he was doing up here this morning. And Honora's against the back wall of that classroom.
You guys had children's church?
They did. And Honora doesn't like groups of people. So Honora's in the back of the class, just huddled up on a chair, just doesn't know what to do with herself. But they were to the back wall in the children's church.
What are y'all handing out? Dollar bills down there? Is that what we got to do?
I don't know.
We got to hand out dollar bills to increase the numbers?
But it was amazing to watch God work in our life personally, and then come to church and ministerially. God's just doing great things with our young people here, and it is my cup's overflowing this weekend. God's been so good to us, and it's been such
did you,
a...
Did you text Joe and tell
I
him...
I sent him a Marco Polo this morning.
Did you tell him, see what God can do when he puts the right man in the right place?
No, I did send him a Marco Polo and showed him how many kids were in the class, and they all yelled a message to him, so... But no, I can never do what Brother Joe did in that classroom, but it's been a wonderful time. The kids all sent me... They all like to write notes, and a couple of them wrote me a really sweet note this morning and put a Jolly Rancher in there. So the kids gave me candy today, and it was very, very sweet. It touched my heart this morning. It was a blessing to be in God's house today.
Amen. Anybody else? Nobody else? Nobody's got something good to say about the Lord? It's always the same people. I'm going to start the testimonies again of people standing up and giving their testimony how they got saved. Watch the attendance drop. Have you given yours? Did you give yours? If we have time next Sunday night, you'll be the one. You're going to tell us how you came to know Christ. All right? Is that too much of a notice? Or I should have told you next Sunday. Can you do that? Yeah, 5 minutes. Tell us how you came to know Christ. All right. Jake? Didn't you have your hand up? Oh, who had their... Oh, so while I was talking to them, nobody was walking to her? So let's pause. Hold on. We'll wait. We can't ever hear Patty's anyways. It's like you just, when Patty gives it, is anybody, am I saying something that ain't true? When Patty gives a testimony, here's what I do. Miss Miller, do you hear anything she says? A little bit? It's like being in Mexico and you just know a little bit of Spanish. Wow. Miss Cynthia, I'm sorry.
I would like to praise the Lord just for his continual care over our family. You know that Maurice has cancer and that the treatments and the labs are, the prices there are just ridiculous. It's hundreds of thousands of dollars. And he does not have a full-time job. So we don't have, he has a certain insurance that's going to, and at the end of the year, and at that point, we don't have anything. He's looking into Obamacare. And I just am marveling at the fact that you can have nothing and God still provides. I don't know where it comes from. I'm not concerned about what happens after this year. And I know that the Lord will take care of him in his sickness. And we'll still provide for those bills to be paid. I am marveling, too, at the different areas that things come in that we didn't expect. We just had some carpeting put in our house. And there was a mismatch. There wasn't a color. It was the same color dye lot, but it was a series change. And because of that, and this is crazy, they gave us $3,500. And I'm like, just because of something that I could have easily just, you know, forgotten. I mean, it's not acceptable in their business, but I could have just forgot about it. But the Lord just is taking care of us in so many ways that I could sit here and think to myself, well, I don't think, you know, anything there, but then something pops up. And I just attribute that to his care, yes, but also tithing. God takes care of us when we take care of the church and supply the financial needs of the church. And I know that my husband has never really believed that. When we were at our last church, it grieved me that he would not take control of that. And so I promised almost, not promised, but promised to myself that when I came to this church, it is going to be really different. And the Lord has just blessed us over and over and over again. And I just thank and praise him.
Amen. I hope that was an encouragement to you, what I said in Peter this morning. I don't know if I ever looked at it that way. I've read it 100 times. You ever read something 100 times and you just never see it, and then all of a sudden the light comes on? That God elevated a woman's conversation to the same status as the Word of God. And you might not think you're making a difference. It is. I've said it to Mike probably more than anybody else. When you're doing what you're supposed to be doing, that pillow can say a lot to you that you don't even think it does. How many people that will sit here tonight or even this morning and go home and God still can... He's listening to your conversation if you're the same there as you are here. Amen. Anybody else? I want to hand it to her. Sam, did you hear? You helped a young lady this morning. God will bless you for that. Did you know how to change bulbs in a car? And then you learned that too, didn't you? I told these Timothy guys they're going to go to a church one day. And if you at least don't have a general knowledge of replacing a water heater and you're in a blue-collar church, you know how silly you're going to look? We have educated a generation of people in our colleges that don't even know how to change a tire. And, you know, my son will always give me credit that, well, you taught us that one. I never rebuilt stuff and all that kind of stuff. The generation now, because they don't have people showing them, you know what they do? They go to Google and YouTube. Amen. And sometimes people like me get their feelings hurt because their daughters post memes on Facebook that I'm the result of my dad asking me to hold the flashlight. And that is such a lie. And at family conference, she's going to repent of that.
I just want to thank the Lord tonight for my 4 amazing grandparents. 2 sets of great-grandparents, and then 1 set of grandparents. I have more unbiological grandparents, but recently, as of Saturday, I was told that one of them fell and broke like 4 to 6 ribs, and his medicine's running out, and he's in a whole bunch of pain still. I was told that he's making a good recovery. He's the one that has dementia. He can't remember things. He can't remember my face anymore. I share a birthday with him every year. But even through that, his wife is 90 years old, and 2 more next year will be 90. And I'm grateful for them. Amen. My grandparents have showed me how to change a tire. They've shown me so many amazing things, and my grandmother was the one that led me to the Lord.
Amen. Can I say, from a grandfather's point of view, the best thing you could do for him before the last breath he takes? Know that you're serving the Lord. Amen. You're in a good place to make that happen. I'm going to pass the torch from one grandchild to another.
I want to praise the Lord that today in my class, we had 9 people. And the past few weeks, we've been having 5. And I just want to praise the Lord that one of the kids, he's been coming recently, one of the kids from his school came. And I just want to praise the Lord that I think he's been passing on about church members. And I want to pray that she comes next week.
Amen. Be sensitive to people. Your daddy used to be very sensitive to people. And then people made him hard. And now he needs to get sensitive again. Those people aren't here anymore.
I know I've said it so many times, and hopefully I never stop saying it, but I'm just very thankful. Everything that you've said about getting your soil just in the place to receive seed, I just really want to praise the Lord and thank him that, you know, this place doesn't have to be here. This church does not have to be available for us. And since the day that I came, I've always looked at that fact of just the blessing of what this church is and the truth that's here. I've always looked at that very selfishly about just me. I get to come. I get to hear. And it's changed my life. And I get to reap the benefits of what this place has to offer. And I think all that's right and good, and I will never stop praising the Lord for that, Lord willing. It's because of this place that I got saved, and I'm thankful for that. But I don't know if it's my age. For some reason, I turned 27, and just, I don't know, things have just been different. The Lord's laid a lot on my mind. But I'm thankful that there's a place that I can bring my kids to. Because it's not just about me. And at this point, I want everything that God's done for me to be successfully passed on to my children. And the young man that everybody met the day that I came, he was a mess. He was a train wreck. And the one that he has become is still a train wreck and still a mess in a lot of ways.
Joe Bean's back there doing this because I did it.
She knows.
But she's happy with her train wreck of a dad.
But again, I know how to be the dad that I am now because of this place. I know how to be the husband that I am now because of this place. As Brother Mark said, the answers were there all along. But there's something to be said about a person and a people that already know and that strive to provide somewhere so that somebody else can know. And so that stuff can be passed on. Thankful for my wife. She don't have to follow. But she does. Not perfectly, but she does.
She could still be delivering pizzas.
She could.
Out of Brimfield. Hello. She could.
And I know that I don't lead perfectly. And I'm looking forward to all the things that the Lord wants to do if I just yield to it. I'm just thankful for the church.
Anybody else? No?
To kind of
kind of piggyback off of the last couple of testimonies. I'm also very thankful that I had 9 in Sunday school class this morning since we started Lemuel's Learners.
Is that you were in Avalon's?
Yes.
Or she was in yours, rather?
Yes. Since I started teaching Sunday school, that's the most kiddos I've ever had in a classroom. It was a struggle, but it was a good struggle to have, and I'm thankful for it. And I'm just so thankful for my church. I didn't get to hear the message this morning, but I plan on listening back. But when you brought up this afternoon about me being 16 when I moved in with to the Baldwins, kind of walked down memory lane thinking, and then spending the weekend at Kenmore, where I went to high school and graduated from and everything, it kind of takes you back to the decisions and the things that you were facing then, that I was facing then. And I'm just so thankful for what the Lord's done in my life. And for Mr. Mike and Miss Emily, for being my stand-in parents, and for helping me make the right decisions, and pointing me to the Lord continually, and loving on me. The church, for what you don't have in your own life, the church makes up for so much. And I'm so thankful for mine, that the Lord brought me here, my family here. He's just been so good to me.
I think if I'm doing the math right, you graduated around the same time I had my stroke. It was my first preaching after my stroke, and I came over there for the graduation. Amen. You've been here for a while, haven't you? Amen. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. Whew, y'all cutting into my preaching time.
I want to thank the Lord for 18 years on Friday for my salvation.
How many?
18 years. That seems crazy. But I want to thank the Lord just whenever that comes up. Like, I've not had a bad life to look back on a testimony and go, whew, what the Lord saved me from. But in that, there's a testimony because in spite of my missteps and my faults, the Lord has never misstepped. And he's always been faithful. And it was Friday. It was just kind of, as Jacob shared, it just seems like we're in a season where it's just one thing after another. But then Friday came, and I had actually reached out to Sammy. I'd reached out to her a few times this past month and just told her, and it just seemed like it was just one spiritual attack after another. But Friday came, and it was crazy how just this wave of peace came, and then to go and spend time at Kenmore on my spiritual birthday and try to help encourage other young people and show my kids what church can be fun too. It's just refreshing to look back on, and even to piggyback on some of the testimonies about the Sunday school department. When I think about the night I got saved, I always think about Miss Carol. Miss Carol Mating, my Sunday school teacher, emphasizing and teaching the same things that you were teaching at church at the time. And what an impact that made on me, because not only was I hearing it in church services, but then hearing it on a personal level from my Sunday school teacher, if she wouldn't have been personal, would I have made a profession of faith? Would it have made any difference if she wasn't? And it's just, God's been good, and it's been a blessing to watch in review 18 years. And not being faithful, but he has. is the testimony in itself.
Help me. That was the name of the Selborne. The name of the street was a Bible name. Matthew, Mark. Because we were right there in East London. Yeah. And that was after a Wednesday night service. And it was in our home in East London, South Africa. And then talk about time machine. Mrs. You were baptized. Miss Mills and the girl, Gabby. And where's Gabby today? Time machine. Amen. And that's another testament that you don't have to be a lot. You can get saved in a foreign country. You just live right. Amen. Anybody else? Brother Dan, the sound booth's going to give a testimony. Whoa. Whew. Louise.
It's the big one. You've been talking about the time machine, and like you said, if we could go back, there would be a lot of things we'd do differently. But at the same time, I'm looking back, and the Bible talks about our heritage and heritage from the Lord. And I was just thinking, Grandma and Grandpa Schnarr, as far back as I can remember them, they attended the Church of the Open Door, Pastor Neighbor. That was back when it actually preached the word. Grandma and Grandpa Love were Presbyterian, back when you could actually get saved in a Presbyterian church. Mom and Dad was a pastor just about my whole life. My daughters are married to two godly young men, active in their church and in the service as a chaplain. And I just found out the other day that my grandson is willing to go head-to-head with the state of New York and the school system there. He said, if you guys can have a club called Gender Rainbow Connections, we can have a Bible club. No, you have to do this, you have to, he goes, tell me what hoops we jump through. We'll jump, we're doing it.
Call it
You know, so my grandparents, now my grandson is standing up and doing what the Lord wants. So just thank the Lord for the heritage Amen. That we have.
Amen. Amen. Anybody else? We got to wrap this up, don't we? I'm trying to think how we'll wrap it up. All the young people are going to get in the choir loft. And they're going to sing a song before we leave. Is that fair enough? We've got good stock for the next generation if we don't mess it up. I'm not discounting the gray hairs in here. But was it that missionary that stopped by recently and he said, most churches I go to and drop in on, it's more gray hair than it is green shoulders? And again, I'm not discounting it. I'm learning how to communicate between the two of them. I'm in the middle. And this new generation, they don't talk the same way the old generation did. And they don't understand the same way. So we've got to, what was Issachar? He had an understanding of the times. And the times here, if we keep doing what we're supposed to be doing, look good. Amen. Five people can come to a church and become 19, 20 really, with Nana. 5 people can become 20. And a church that hardly had a young person. Who was the only one when I came here was, what was that little girl's name in Jeff's family? Isabella. Now look at it. They're running all over the place. And I'm happy for it. A church that has can hear the pitter-patter of feet has the potential to be long standing. Amen. So let's have all of our young people. I'm checking IDs. Some of you older people will try and sneak up there. And you don't sing the same way they do. Amen. What do we got for a song? A good one. I wish they all knew that one right there. Let's fill that choir up, young people. We want you to encourage us before we leave, okay? Now you're going to move. Now you're going to move. You're going to come up here to sing. You're going to come up next time to listen. Elizabeth, you want to sing in the choir? Huh? Oh, Miley's not a young person anymore. How old are you? You have 1 gray hair? How old are you? 16. Sophie, how old are you? Ooh, almost 17. We're going to let you fly on this one. It's because of your hair, that 1 gray hair. All right, we got everybody? Nobody's hiding? Mandy, I'm checking IDs. All right. Elizabeth, you can do it. Take some of that energy. Take some of that energy, okay? Sienna's up there. Go get it, Sienna. You didn't do like your sister. All right, you got a good one? Altars are open. You might want to pray for your family. Might want to pray for your child. They might not all make it. They got a better chance of it if we're praying for them. Stay up there in the choir. Who was this group over here that did the special? What was it a spontaneous? That was spontaneous? So get that same crowd here. That's our last song. Wesley, I'm going to get Brother Alex to keep tonight's message video-wise so that when you're your daddy's age, I'm going to show you that video while we're singing and you're picking your nose. Okay? Because I always... Because your wedding day, I'm going to show it. No, graduation. Don't we show the pictures during graduation?
Yeah.
All right? Yeah, I know. Spontaneous. Altars are open. You guys can sit down. This is the last song. We'll go home.
Because you live.
said, did you catch that at the end? They said, I'm here to say, or I'm here today because you lived for Christ.
Yeah.
You know what I tell people in my office all the time? You got to find something to fight for.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
When did y'all get married? 2017, we had our first family conference. They were married that Saturday. And I said to Brother O'Malley, would you mind? I know two things that will secure up a foundation of a church outside of our chief cornerstone. And that's missions and marriages. And so Brother O'Malley married Jacob and Christina against my better judgment. Was anybody here that day watching me give her away? Yes. That was the toughest day of my life. Not because of Jacob.
Yeah.
Just giving her away, Dad. Man, it's tough. It was hard for anybody here for Josh and Cody's. She didn't want me to marry her. I wasn't going to make it through it. And asked him to stay Sunday, and I said, would you just preach on the family? And he could have, if his schedule permitted, stayed because it made such an impact that day.
Yeah.
So we've continued to do that. And you probably don't notice these things. I notice these things every year. After that family conference is over, somebody will just... And,
right.
Yeah, fight for him, man.
Yeah.
Libby and I, 1993, February, I was fixing to just, she was a hellcat. And I said, you know, I can't really, I got boys. And I got Tina, and I stuck around. Because I had to fight for them. I didn't want them to go through what I went through. And it could have been better, I'm sure. I could have been a better father. But they were something that I fought for. And it's going to be tough in this day, keeping your marriage together, keeping your family together. But it's possible if you see the bigger picture. And they're the bigger picture. Amen? Let's all stand to our feet. We'll be dismissed in a word of prayer. I appreciate y'all. A lot of places they'd have a deacon's meeting afterwards and say, preacher, you never preached. But when I went to Bible college, the pastor used to say, the big preacher preached tonight. And the big preacher preached tonight. I hope he said something to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. This is the only hope Cuyahoga Falls has. The only hope Ohio has. We need to be a lighthouse, and our homes need to be in order so other people see it. Amen?
Yeah.
Let's keep them in order. Let's help these. And the ones that don't have a home, Alicia, can find a home. Amen? Somebody to close us out in prayer. Yeah. Why don't you get a hold of the horns of the altar and close us out? Got three precious kids, and you're an uncle to three other ones, eight other ones, three that aren't in church. They think you hung the moon. You didn't hang the moon, but you know the one who did.
Yeah.
Make sure you reflect the sun so they can see it one day. I have nieces and nephews, and they call me. I'm the only hope. Close us out in prayer. Love y'all.
right, if you have kids playing the piano, can